Hello, this is Arnold McEntee. Delighted that you've joined us for the study of the Word of God today. We're going to listen to Boyd Nicholson as he considers with us the blind man. Terrible to be physically blind. Far worse to be spiritually blind. How wonderful to know that for the spiritually blind there is hope today in the person of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Boyd first told our audience of this on our program 1932, and you're listening to it on cassette 173. We're so thankful you've joined us. I'd just like to ask you to pray for the Family Bible Hour as it's heard today around the world in at least 19 languages and on 113 releases. Pray for us. The Family Bible Hour at Box 494, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, L2R6V9. Now, this is Arnett McEntee, praying that the Lord will bless you in a special way as you study with us.
Thank you, Arnett. That's God's blessing in our program today. God, our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus, for His care and concern, and we thank Thee He brought to men the revelation of God. We pray that Thou wilt grant that blessing today through this broadcast. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. One day the Lord Jesus stood up in Nazareth where He had been brought up and opened the Scriptures to read them. He read from the prophet Isaiah a prophecy concerning Himself, and these were the words as we find them recorded in Luke chapter 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Truly a remarkable miracle to supernaturally give sight to the blind. And the Lord Jesus did perform that miracle on certain occasions. And this week's lesson has to do with one of those times as we find it recorded in John chapter 9. As the Lord Jesus passed on His way, He saw a man that He knew had been blind from his birth. Blindness of the eye is a terrible affliction, but blindness of the mind and spirit is a worse malady and a greater tragedy. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, a remarkable statement which exposes one of the most powerful and least understood works of the devil. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We see from this scripture that mankind, by nature, is blinded to the spiritual and eternal things of God. Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, a notable theological teacher in Israel, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is born from above, they receive a sixth sense that enables them to perceive spiritual truths to which the ungodly and the unbeliever are utterly blind. Paul speaks of that sixth sense in Ephesians chapter 1, and he calls it the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart. Those who have not received the gospel, believing on Christ, are spiritually blind, the Bible teaches. They are blind to their defilement, just as a blind man cannot see when his hands are soiled. In the world, there's little conscience and little seriousness about defilement before God. Sin is a dirty thing and needs not only to be forgiven, but also to be cleansed away, so that the forgiven sinner is made clean and consciously acceptable in the presence of a holy God. The unbeliever is blind to his distance from God, as those whose eyes are blind have no visual perception of distance. There are many, especially religious folks, who think that they somehow get close to God when they perform their religious rites and ceremonies, or when they say their prayers. But the scripture makes it clear that there is, in fact, a great gulf between the sinner in his sins and a holy God in his heaven. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What's needed is for the sinner to be pardoned of the guilt of his sins and purged from their defiling effect. Thank God that while there is a great gulf between the sinner and a holy God, that great gulf is not yet fixed for eternity. Still there is hope, dear listener, by taking the Lord Jesus as your Savior today. You will find him to be the way to God, the Father, and the means of cleansing from your sin. But millions are blind to their distance from God. They have no idea how terribly far away they are from him because of their sins. In fact, dear listener, the Bible makes it clear that if you are still in your sins, you are so far away from God at this very moment that nothing, nothing but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work of redemption, can bridge that gap for you. The very fact that millions are thoughtlessly unconcerned about their soul salvation and their eternal destiny is proof that their minds have been blinded to their defilement and to their distance from God. But more, those who are spiritually blind are also blind to their danger, separated from God. They're stumbling, unheeding and unalarmed, to the brink of a lost eternity and don't seem to see their imminent doom. They sport their lives away in useless frivolities. The alarm call of the gospel is drowned out by the raucous noise of their pleasure-loving ways. What a tragedy to be blind and unheeding, and saddest of all, to be blinded by the great enemy of mankind, the devil. There was hope for that blind man, of course, as he sat by the side of the road, but that hope was not in the disciples of the Lord Jesus. They were considering his problem only as a philosophical discussion about who is to blame for this man's blindness. How sad today, even on radio programs just like this, there are sincere followers of the Lord Jesus, and their concern for the lost is only academic, theoretical, theological, and abstract. The disciples didn't really see the profound need of the man, but the Lord Jesus saw him, not as an object for discussion, but as a candidate for compassion. He intended to do something to meet the need, the deep and urgent need of that individual. That's why the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, came into the world, not to give sterile theological lectures, clear as the moonlight and just as cold, nor philosophical pronouncements about mankind, but to reach down to the very earth and bring light for our darkness, life for our death, and love for our despairing hearts. That's why he came. Didn't come to analyze our problems, but to sympathize with our hearts and deliver us from our sins. In the presence of that blind man who sat in darkness, the Lord Jesus proclaimed himself to be the light of the world. He brought the light of the knowledge of God to the blinded minds of sinners. That's called revelation. He brought the light of the holiness of God to the defiled lives of sinners. That's called sanctification. He brought the light of the glory of God to the wondering eyes of sinners on the Mount of Transfiguration, that is magnification. Father Morey has affirmed that he will illuminate the souls of all who will receive him as Savior and Lord. A writer to the Hebrews describes this experience of salvation as being illuminated. When Adam was created, he was a child of the light, dwelling in the light, loving the light, and walking in the light. Then sin entered by disobedience. Instantly, the light went out of Eve's and Adam's life, and they became children of the darkness, hiding from God and loving the dark because their deeds were evil. So men walked in darkness through the ages until the Lord Jesus came as the light of the world to banish that darkness and to give sight to the spiritually blind. When the blind man obeyed the Lord Jesus, we read that he came seeing. What a wonderful thing for a man who had never seen the flowers he had often smelled, never seen the birds he had heard every day, never seen the faces of those he had known and loved for years. How wonderful it is, too, for those who obey the gospel and the eyes of the heart are open for the first time, and they can see the truths of the kingdom of God. They can see things that had only been darkness to them. It's been my personal joy and privilege to sit or kneel beside men and women and even children when they have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved, and so many of them at that very moment have said, "Oh, I see it now." People around the blind man's neighborhood reacted with incredulous wonder, and they were full of questions. How? Where? What? Why? People can never understand the change that takes place when a person is truly saved by the grace of God. They try to explain it. They try to excuse it. They try to expel it from their thoughts. We just rejoice in this man's simple testimony. Simple, but it baffled his opposers. He said, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Those clever theorists wanted to tie this simple man up in argumentative knots and confuse him with hard questions, but he silenced them with the facts. These were undeniable. Once he was blind, no argument there. Now with opened eyes, he saw. That too is irrefutable. Not only does the Lord open the eyes to see, he also opens the heart to love and the lips to testify to his mighty work. Dear listener, if you've been blind to the beauties of the Lord Jesus, blind to the value of his work on the cross for your soul, blind to the promise of God, then right now by faith look to the Lord Jesus and receive him into your heart. He will bring his light into your soul. You will be born again into his eternal kingdom. And as you behold him by faith, you will be able to say, "Yea, he is altogether lovely." Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. O God, we pray that this will be the experience of many today, that turn their eyes upon the Lord Jesus in faith and trust him, and we know thou wilt keep thy word, save them, cleanse them, and bring them into thy kingdom. We ask thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus.